So this morning, I'm going to, as I, again, I've coveted your prayers. Please be in prayer that some things don't go wrong, but I am going to be showing some videos under the fair use laws. We're not, this is just for informational purposes, and that these can be brought forward. But please pray, and if an ad pops up, I do apologize. I have no control over those things. So I tried to set it up this morning to where none of that will happen, but I just have a sneaking suspicion that the devil's not going to like what I'm doing. And so please be in prayer that God would hinder all those types of things. This morning, I've asked you to open up to 2 Peter. We're actually going to start in verse 1. What chapter? Chapter 3, excuse me. I should have told you chapter 10 and waited for everybody to try to find it.
Yeah, right.
I've done that before. I said, go to the book of Jude to the to the kids, and I said, go to chapter 28, and they're looking at it going, flipping the pages. I said, why didn't any of you question me? Why didn't you say, hey, there isn't one? Well, because you're the teacher. Yeah, that's your ignorance. You should question those kind of things. This morning, I'm going to bring you forth in a message that I pray that will guide you, lead you, and direct you. And we're in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start off in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And that's my prayer this morning, that I'm going to stir your mind up a little bit to remember the Lord, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5, for this they are willingly ignorant of. And I'm going to end there. Willingly ignorant of. I pray this morning that when you leave here, you'll no more be willingly ignorant to what I'm bringing forward, but focused, knowing that scoffers are everywhere. Yeah. And they're getting more and more powerful and more ignorant. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, this morning as I bring forth this message, I implore you, I plead with you, please use this message. Put your hand upon me and guide my thoughts, and Lord, put wisdom into these dear members here. Lord, please help me to hasten quickly and move forward, but Lord, I don't want to belabor points for sake of time, but Lord, I must teach, and I must guide and lead, and I ask, Lord, please, that you awaken us this morning. Encourage our hearts and our minds. Give us wisdom and understanding. And we thank you for all that you've done. In your Son's holy name we ask and we pray. Amen. I'm going to read you a little story. And I want you to just ponder it for a moment. Welcome to my world. I live in a society where Uncle Sam controls every aspect of what we can say, do, and even think. They are able to do this through a variety of methods, but they rely mostly upon telescreens, which aids them in their surveillance. Through this surveillance, Uncle Sam is able to carefully examine every part of our lives, who we talk to, what we talk about, what we think, and even who we love. We are forced to use politically correct language and steer away from hate speech. For the leaders, it is obvious that if thought corrupts language, and language can also corrupt thought. For this reason, our words must be harmonious to the ideals presented and propagandized through Uncle Sam. Every person and agency are on board in this line of thinking. As the mainstream media uses the same narrative across outlets, all of which must be approved by Uncle Sam. Does this sound fictionalized? Probably not. What if I made these same claims 75 years ago? Would you perhaps think that I was crazy or at best a conspiracy theorist? But today, no. Today it seems like it isn't fiction. I want to thank my dear sister Matre for putting that together for me, and I asked her to bring it forward from one simple source. 75 years ago, a man named George Orwell wrote a book entitled 1984. The above scenario is exactly what it is. Just simply replace Uncle Sam with Big Brother and the party. Replace telescreens with television, internet, and social media. Replace politically correct language and hate speech with new speak. And replace mainstream media with the form of double think. You see, these things are right in front of us. And as Christians, we must be prepared and we must be awake to what is happening, because otherwise we cannot, as my sermon title is, navigate Tomorrowland. Now, Tomorrowland, what is it? Well, there is a real Tomorrowland. I bet you didn't know that. The real Tomorrowland is a music festival that occurs in Belgium. And this music festival is filled with all kinds of terrible things, sin, nature, you name it. The festival began in 2005, and it only had 9,000 attend at that time. It goes for the first 3 weeks in July, and now this year they're estimating that they're going to get well over 900,000, because in 2022 they had 600,000. Think about that. From 9,000 to 600,000 in Tomorrowland. And all they promise you is drugs and debauchery, sin and hedonism. But then you go into the fake one. The fake Tomorrowland. This was a movie from Disney in 2015, and I'll give you the caricature of it. Two scientists embark on a mission to unearth the secrets of a place where in time and space that they share the same memories. But this is not the Tomorrowland that we are dealing with. The Tomorrowland that we're dealing with is just pictured a little bit in 2 Peter chapter 3. Just a little bit. You need to be reminded of who God is. Because God is no longer in the forefront of our psychology. But then we also have to remember that, yeah, scoffers may talk a lot. And they may even bring up good, sound arguments that cause you to question your faith. And I mean sound in their thinking, not in God's thinking. But they'll question everything. Well, he promised he would come, but where is he at? We've been here so long. Now, what's interesting about that is, you know, Peter was written, what is Peter written? It was written, we estimate, 67 A.D. So they're posing those questions 67 A.D. And here we are now, you know, 2023, depending on which calendar you use and which conspiracy theory you want to grab onto. No wonder people are questioning us. But the Tomorrowland that we need to navigate is literally tomorrow. What is coming tomorrow? And tomorrow we have a world that is just crumbling around us. Yeah. Earthquakes and such. My dear sister sent me some stats on some earthquakes. And in one day they estimated, 35 earthquakes hit this earth. And they plotted them and it was all over the globe. Kind of like God is getting angry and put, you know, when you get angry, what do? You clench. God's clenching this earth because we've so rejected Him. Then you have society in and of itself breaking down because of news speak and double think and all these other things that are occurring. And then you have people. People themselves are breaking down. People are afraid. They're worried. They don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Woe is me. I better get my teacup chihuahua and drive down the street like a nut going across double lanes because I saw that on my way here this morning. Seriously? You're driving a big SUV and you got this little dog and it's bouncing all around and you're doing this because you're not focused. We've got to be focused this morning. And everybody on the face of this planet has their own plan. I'm a doomsdayist. I'm going to build a bunker. And I'm going to die of a heart attack before it happens. But I built my bunker. Then you have theories. Everybody's got an idea. It's great to be prepared, but what if your theory is wrong? Well, this guy's the bad guy, or this guy's the bad guy. And then they have expectations. They want to trust the media. They want to trust this political thinker. All will fail, unfortunately, because they don't have God.
That's right.
And even the Christian has this same kind of trouble. You just don't realize it oftentimes. You have fears and worries. Think back for a moment. Don't you have those in your life? Maybe some doubts and questions? But then we have something even worse, misapplied wonders. I've been asked and talked about in the pastoral circles, if you will. Everybody's talking about the Antichrist. The Antichrist, who is he? What is he? And my question's been, I understand why you're asking, but why are you asking? Because that Antichrist is not going to be revealed until you're already in heaven if you believe in the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture. So you're not even here. You should not be looking for the Antichrist, as 2 Thessalonians tells us 2:3, that he's coming, but he won't be revealed until you're gone. You should be looking for the Lord's Christ, because he's going to take you home. Well, what about the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast. You get on YouTube and everywhere it's the mark of the beast. Again, you're gone. Doesn't mean you should not pay attention to the precursors and be thinking about those things, but Revelation 13, if you're a pre-tribulational rapturist, you've got Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the door opens and you're out of here. So if you're already gone, then why are you worried about those things? So what's the way we should navigate? Now here's where we're going to get into our PowerPoint, and here's where I say please pray. You must identify your enemies. You must know who they are. Now, Ephesians 6:12 tells us something very important. It tells us that our enemies are not flesh and blood. Our enemies are principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness in high places. But the reality is this. We do have people within our life and in our scheme that are in high places, and they are our enemies. Now, it's because of who's behind them that makes them our enemies. Notice what she said. This makes fascism look benign. Do you know what she said that about? The Jesus ad during the Super Bowl. That's what she said that about. So guess what you are, dear Christian? You're a fascist. What that tells me is that she does not know how to define fascist, which does not surprise me. I don't think she could work her way out of a paper bag. But Ephesians 6:12 tells us something very important. She is flesh and blood, but the enemy we have is the fact that she's a useful idiot for that enemy, the devil. So navigating Tomorrowland, we must know that enemy. You must know the devil. You must know his wiles, his ways, and who he uses. And you can, over time, get pictures of who he uses. Now, I picked this one because it was the least offensive, but go out there one day and be careful what you look at, and you'll see just how evil these people can be. And I would say, well, you're just a Republican because you're a Christian. No, I work off of God's theology, so I vote in certain manners because of that. But I don't care if it's an R, D, G, I. It doesn't matter behind their name. If they're evil, they're evil. That's it. It doesn't matter what it is. And evil is everywhere. The love of money is the root of all evil. Just ask some people going to court this week. But you might say, I know them. I reject them. So I've canceled my subscriptions. I know who they are in this life. Do you really? Do you really know who they are? Because people say, well, the Disney Corporation. I canceled the Disney Corporation. Do you understand how much the Disney Corporation owns? Within that little picture there, that is all the companies they own. And you can get close on that picture and you can see how deep it goes, but you have within that picture, you have realtor companies, construction companies, investment companies. So yeah, you don't watch the Disney Channel, but there are some things that you may participate in that belong to Disney. Fox Sports, Fox Entertainment, ESPN, GoPro cameras, the History Channel, Vice, Lifetime, if you like Lifetime Network, A&E Network, ABC, Lucasfilms, Marvel. Those are just some of the companies that are owned by the Disney Corporation. How could you possibly boycott all of that? You can't. But if you know that, then when you go to the FX channel or you go to the A&E channel and you see advertisements that just seem to, how do they just keep matching up to all of these other things? It's because the head, the evil head of all of them is the same. Yep. And it's not Disney I'm getting on a soapbox about. It's the devil. He's the one behind these things and we must know that. But then corporations. I might surprise you here with what you're about to see. So we'll talk about some broadcasting corporations, because how does the devil with his pulpit get into your home? He gets into your home through the TV screen, through the internet screen. He gets in any way he can, and this is a great vehicle for him because it's unsuspecting. It's just a box. It doesn't get off the wall and hurt me. Oh, yes, it can. Let me show you some of the companies that are owned by Viacom, Nickelodeon, MTV, Comedy Central, Paramount. So you might see channels up here you watch, and you think, well, that's a good channel, but look who it's owned by. Now, again, as I go through this, please don't think, well, he thinks I'm better. I watch some of these. Please don't think I'm being so pious that I'm not guilty. But my informational purposes this morning is to awaken you to what you're seeing and what's going on behind the scenes. Then the next one you might know, see, it didn't flip. Come on, flip for me. Is Sinclair Broadcasting. Sinclair owns all of those things. And some of them you know, WKRC, Channel 12, WSTR, Channel 64. All of these companies are owned by Sinclair. And you can find this out. All you got to do is search, what companies does this company own? That's all I did. And I brought them out and I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. The next one is Comcast. You got DreamWorks and NBC and Universal and Monkey Kingdom. I have no idea. But MSNBC, CNBC, huh, that's interesting. Why does Universal Studios do so much with MSNBC? Because they're owned by the same head. They're under the same group. So as you look at these lists and you see, oh, now it makes sense why it's a parakeet across the board. Because they're all in the same paddle boat. And they all are working together. But don't think it's just companies and corporations that have a motive and agenda. So do billionaires. So I pulled out a couple of billionaires. You have Jeff Bezos. He owns Amazon and Twitch and things, but he also owns Washington Post. But he's got expeditions, which means he invested in Airbnb, Uber, Twitter, Basecamp. Why does your hand need to be involved in all of that? Because we know from the Washington Post you have a biased view because you allow it to be run in a biased way. So why is your hand in other things that are supposed to be unbiased or uncorrupted? And have you seen some of the news coming out about Airbnb and some of the boycotts and problems that they've had and things that they've hidden? I wonder why that is. All the crimes that have been committed under that app. But you don't know about that. And then you got Bill Gates. And he's just such a lovely guy. And through the Bill Gates Foundation, he's invested in Walmart and Caterpillar, FedEx. It makes no sense to me. Why would you invest in both of them? And then Apple. Wait a minute! Apple! I thought you were Microsoft, man! Well, the love of money is the root of all evil. I'll partner up with anybody I have to. But then Coca-Cola Corporation. That was interesting. The big vaccine guys joined up with a group that produces drinks that we drink and foods that we eat. Rupert Murdoch, you might find him to be your friend because he's the Fox guy. Well, he owns the News Corporation, which is a headship over all of those little things. HarperCollins, The Post, Sun, Times. He owns hundreds across this world. I couldn't even put a list together for you of how many companies his hand's involved in. Is he an innocent guy? Oh, no. That's been some very big evil going around with Rupert Murdoch. But under HarperCollins, that company owns another company that you're very familiar with. If you've got a Bible in your lap, you might be able to flip it onto the cover and see Zondervan. Zondervan's owned by Rupert Murdoch. And under Zondervan, the HarperCollins books, he also produces pornography in England and Australia, right next to the same printing presses he's making Bibles on. See why there's some trouble? And then, of course, you got Mark Zuckerberg. Now this guy, he frightens me to no end because of the things he's decided to say and do. But he's got Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, obviously. But then he's got Confirm.io, which is a biometric ID verification system. Interesting. He's got Chainspace, blockchain money. He's got Control Labs, which translates movement and neural impulses into digital signals. Do you understand what that means? An app or a device that you put on that you move around or you use thought, it puts it into a digital form for a company to know. You think, well, that's crazy. Nah, you're not going to think it's so crazy anytime soon. But this was a picture of all the companies owned by him and Facebook. Just to understand how the devil has reached the world. Viacom, 170 networks in 160 countries reaching 700 million people. You got Sinclair, 185 stations, 85 markets, 600 channels. You have Comcast. They reach 80 million homes on subscription. But here's what's interesting about that. How many children are in those 80 million homes being indoctrinated because parents aren't paying any attention to what their kids are watching? And then you also have Disney and the billionaires. Well, their reach is worldwide. So 7 billion people by their different motives. And you might think, well, wait a minute, what about corporations? This, I understand the entertainment industry. What about corporations? Because I like to certain things. And if you remember, they took off Miss Butterworth's and made it, was it Pills, Pearl something Milling. And they, oh, you can't have Uncle Ben's on the rice because that's racist, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not going to buy that. Well, your money still goes to these companies because look at all the things that Pepsi owns that you may purchase. That's a whole lot of companies. You got Pearl Milling Company right there in that list. You got Dole, Captain Crunch, you got Frito-Lay's, all the chips are owned by the Pepsi Company. And if you want this sent to you, because I'm going to hasten for time, move forward, but if you want this list, I'd be happy to email it to you. What about Coca-Cola? They own all that. Jack Daniels and the Coke mix, because they like to get into the alcohol. You got Fairlife and Minute Maid teas and orange juices and things. Look at all the companies at Coca-Cola. And wait a minute, didn't I just say that a billionaire has been investing into that company? And he said he wants to put vaccine into foods. And he also said that he wants the global population to be dwindled by force. These things should alarm you. Their reach is deep. Conagra Foods. You got in here, Celeste Pizza, Bird's Eye. And I only put this one on here because if you take a look, there are things in here that you're like, well, wait a minute. If this company goes sideways, I buy half of that. I didn't realize they were all owned by that same corporation. You know, if you like Celeste Pizza, great, but what about P.F. Chang's or Open Pit Barbecue Sauce? What if there's a deal made behind closed doors with dirty politicians to go ahead and do some things that you're not... And I wonder, how much lobbying does this company do against Christians who might take a stand on pro-life movements? You didn't know all that, did you? Heinz Foods. You like Maxwell Coffee? They're in there. Heinz Foods, Jell-O, Kool-Aid, Crafts. Clorox Company. Did you know that Clorox owned Kingsford, but they also own Hidden Valley Ranch? Well, isn't that interesting? You got ranch dressing owned by a company that makes bleach. Now, I am sure everything is safe because just like they said in East Palestine where the train was burned up and all those, everything is just safe, but then the politician goes over and takes a stick and runs it through the creek and all that oil comes up, but the EPA says it's safe. So trust the EPA. I don't trust any of these people. No, I still have to buy their products because that's how we live. Mars Company. I put this on here because I'm so tired of that garbage with M&Ms and the Stokes candies and all that nonsense. You should have seen the show that I put on in Sunday school. Oh boy, I poured it on thick. But M&Ms. Well, that's Mars Company. Well, they make gum. So you like, you know, Wrigley's? They also make all those candies there. I mean, you got M&M's. I know it's small writing, but that's how much they produce. Snickers, Twix, Mars bars. But they also make food. Ben's Original Rice, which used to be Uncle Ben's Original Rice. And Delimino and Master Foods and all of these different things. But I never realized that Mars was so worried about our dogs and cats. So they own veterinary clinics. The one that my dogs go to, Banfield. That's on their own list. They're so excited to get into the dog market, especially with all of the chips being put into our dogs, because they hope that eventually those chips can be used for human use. But they also make all kinds of dog foods. Aren't they worried about the pet population too? Now, I'm not saying they're doing anything evil, but are they? So how are they producing Tomorrowland that you and I have to get through? They're doing it very well and in a very frightening manner. It's because they have all the same goals. They have a goal of global control. They want to share in the marketplace, but ultimately it's the same thing. Money, money, money. That is their move. And Satan is at using them with supreme success. He is the master hand behind them. And both Satan and useful idiots, as Vladimir Lenin would have called them, can't allow one thing, me and you. If they allow me and you, it's real trouble. Because we say, no more. Right. Christians are really the only voices. I know there's political people speaking up, but in the totality of it all, only Christians are speaking up against the real evil of the world. Right. You can point to the politicians and the corporations, but you're really doing nothing of any effect. You must point to the devil and his work. Yep. And so as they produce Tomorrowland, we've got to figure out how to get through it. But I want you to understand how deep Tomorrowland goes. So I'm going to play some videos for you. I pray for your patience as I try to make sure that I speak quickly. But I want to play some of these in their entirety, and I will shorten others. But you need to see what's out there and in the open for you to pay attention to. We're going to start off with something very important. We're going to start off, where'd my mouse go? There it is. We're going to start off with Mockingbird.
Cooperation to act as government mouthpieces and gatekeepers. The director of Operation Mockingbird at the time, Thomas Braden, admitted that if the CIA wanted to, say, extend a present to someone, he said, suppose this man could just use $50,000, that's $250,000 adjusted for inflation today, by the way, he says that he could hand it to him and not have to account to anybody. He said there was simply no limit to the money that they could spend, no limit to the people that they could hire, no limit to the activities that it could decide were necessary. The Congressional Committee's report revealed that the CIA currently maintained a network of several hundred individuals around the world who provide intelligence for the CIA and at times attempt to influence opinion through the use of covert propaganda. These individuals provide the CIA with direct access to a large number of newspapers and periodicals, scores of press services and news agencies, radio and television stations, commercial book publishers, and other foreign media outlets. After the Church Committee's report was completed, Rolling Stone magazine published an article naming some prominent journalists involved with Operation Mockingbird who worked for the New York Times, the Washington Post, Newsweek, Time Magazine, the New York Herald Tribune, Miami News, and other major media outlets. Shortly after these revelations, the former president of CBS, Sid Mickelson, was asked if the CIA still worked with reporters, and he said, yeah, he thinks they probably do, but a reporter would have to be much more circumspect because of the revelations of the 1970s.
So basically, this would go on for the next few minutes, you find out that Operation Mockingbird was a CIA operation developed in the 1950s, and they utilized things that they learned from Russia and from China and other places on how to bring forth propaganda. And so what they did was they took young men who were trained in the CIA way of operating, got them hired on at various different news agencies, and then through that would get orders from the CIA on what to write in their stories. So isn't it interesting how an event occurs and somehow within just few minutes of that event we have hundreds of articles from all of the major news sources citing facts, documents, and quotes that, wait a minute, this just happened. How did you get that story together? Operation Mockingbird. It was found in the Church Commission in the 1970s. I went out and researched, and because I'm a crazy person, read a lot of it, and it's true. They did admit that they had done this. Well, if they had already done it, why stop doing it now? So if you want to see it in action, let me show you this.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities,
the El Paso, Las Cruces communities,
Eastern Iowa communities,
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that City of Four News produces.
But
country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish the same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish the same fake stories without checking facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to share their own personal bias and agenda.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy. This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy. This is extremely dangerous to our democracy. This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy. This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy. This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
I am fuck.
Now, this was done by Sinclair Broadcasting. Remember that list I told you? They own some stations here.
Yeah.
Now, they were mocked for that because it was so blatantly obvious. Well, wait a minute. If this is so blatantly obvious, did you know? Because it's just in your market. It's not across the globe. Why did they do that? And if you noticed, it was Fox, it was CBS, it was ABC. They were all on there. Interesting how that happens, isn't it? So is Mockingbird alive and well today?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, it is. So why is it I would trust my dear brother Ray back there faster than I would trust the media? Because I know him. He's an honest man.
Okay.
I don't know you.
Right.
You are bought and paid for by somebody above you. And all you're doing is regurgitating a script you were told to give. At least he will give me honesty, as will all of you. So that's why we need to, as we navigate Tomorrowland, know who your friends are.
Yeah.
Your friends are those that will take care of you. They'll watch over you. They'll help you. They'll deal with the scoffers you just saw there. I'm sorry, you lose all credibility with me when you do that. Because that was dishonest. And I know why you did it. I'm very aware of why you did it.
That's right.
Look, that ain't a mistake. Come on, I'm trying to do an illustration. Whatever. But the fact of the matter is, now I know. And I've always known, but you made it patently obvious. That's how the devil works. So he works through information. He influences your brain. He guides your thinking. He's always trying to get to the idiot box to make us more of an idiot. And that's what he does. But then he also uses something else with the useful idiots of the world. He takes fear and can control you. Just ask people who are still 3 years later wearing a mask because they're afraid. I was at the grocery store the other day, and a man had covered himself with a toboggan, a mask, glasses, safety glasses, gloves. It's fear. What are you afraid of, though? When there is no God in your life, you're afraid of everything. And people that are afraid are easily controlled. That's why Christians must not be afraid, even of death.
That's right.
Death is not your friend, it is your enemy. Let it be known that. But where does death take you? It takes you home. There is nothing in this life that we must fear, even the chatterboxes that are over here. But the last way that they will control you in Tomorrowland is absolute and total manipulation. You have something that's occurring right now that is very dangerous. And if you pay any attention to it, you see it everywhere around you and you don't even know it. Artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is something that is intrusive into our lives more than you can ever imagine. If you have one of these, you have artificial intelligence in your home right now. And you're not going to escape it. The scary part is who's in control of it. Take for just a moment and watch this.
Today I'm testing what looks to be the most realistic voice changer I've ever come across. It's called Voice AI, and it's a hyper-realistic voice changer that allows you to sound like anyone you want, like Barack Obama,
or even the current president of the United States.
It's also impressive how easily it turns a male voice into a female voice and vice versa.
As well as detects and applies nuances to the voice like raspiness and depth.
Which means that it can turn your voice, regardless of how it is, into the voice of anyone, like a celebrity or any character, basically. This entire video was recorded by me just talking into the microphone normally.
Let me know what you thought of these voices, and if you want to test it yourself, go to voice.ai and check it out. It's actually free.
Today?
Notice that's free. So you can just go and try it. what I found out about some of these voice AIs is that they are able to take just 3 seconds of audio from your voice and create an entire data bank of words with your voice. They used to say that you wouldn't know what's real and what isn't, and people thought it was imaginary. Now it's real. Look at that. Would you have known the difference? And now when you talk about the news, is it actually news or is it being created to be news? You have not only voice changers, but you also have deep fakes. You have things that you might think, well, that's not going to affect me. It's not going to cause me any trouble. And you are vastly wrong in that, unfortunately. Now, something that is very important is that we must understand this total control, what we are seeing, it goes far beyond just simply these voice changers and manipulation through advertising and things. It's also about complete control of who you are.
When Elias Goldberger goes to work, he doesn't need ID. And he doesn't need money. In fact, much of what he needs to get through the day is hidden right there, just below the surface, in his hand.
Like such a...
Yeah. Oh, weird. Yeah, it's like...
A grain of rice.
Embedded in his hand is a microchip that serves as his keys, his ID, and his wallet.
Yeah, it's all in chips. I use it like to get around the building.
Buy snacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Buy some snacks. So I can't open it.
No.
Okay.
So what I need to do is I need to first lift my chip, I need to log me in, and from there I get access to the fridge.
Popular TV shows like Black Mirror have imagined chips as part of a dystopian future.
Install in-grade procedure with local anesthetic, and you're good to go.
In Sweden, the microchips are already here.
The microchip implants use
the mark of the beast. You used to be laughed at.
Yep.
I'm not laughing, are you? Now, you might say, well, this is fanciful. This is, I can't believe this. You know when this was produced? 2017.
Wow.
What has changed in 5-6 years? It was in Sweden. Let me show you now what they're advertising.
I've just launched a pretty unique contactless payment solution, authenticating in-store transactions through a phone with your hands. Now buying an action 40 different Amazon OneLook.
Stellar has...
Sorry, forgive me for the ad.
Low fees and the easy tooling that's necessary.
...locations across the United States. The new system will allow consumers to pay via a thumbprint scan that verifies their identity and push your payment using whatever card they have stored. Public opinion has been split into 2 very opposing sides of the spectrum. Some delighted by the complete frictionless and convenient payment options. Some announcing the end of times as just the mark of the beast. Like many in the comment section of your previous episode mentioned. In today's episode, we will cover some details about Amazon One and the bigger market trends in biometric payment authentication. And we will let you decide which side of the spectrum you are on.
He just told you is Amazon has advertised that you'll be able to pay for your items through your palm by scanning your palm print. It's housed by Visa. Goodbye cards, hello biometrics. Use your fingerprint. Use your palm print. And you can do all of those things through your genetic codes to be able to pay for all your goods and services. You won't need a card anymore, nor a wallet. You won't need any of that. You can just pay with everything you have simply by the palm of your hand. That's it. Now, that sounds scary, but this is what's actually happening. That's their. I just printed out their advertisement for it. So when someone laughs at you about the mark of the beast, show them something like that. You sure you want to laugh about that? Because you might just be here. And when this comes, what are you going to do? You won't be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to do anything. Now, we have thought for long and hard about how this is going to be. It's not just simply the palm of the hand or things of that nature. It's also using your brain and your scans to be able to dictate your thinking. Now, how will the devil be able to control things? How will he know where you are, what you're thinking? How will he be able to do any of that? Well, it's not just the mark of the beast. There are other things that are occurring. This conversation is on the World Economic Forum's website. That's where I am right now. And this is what they just advertised. Bear with me and listen closely.
Even you can't believe how productive you've been. Your memo is finished. Your inbox is
song, sending chills up your spine as the music begins to play. You glance at the program running in the background on your computer screen and notice a now familiar sight that appears whenever you're overloaded with pleasure, your theta brainwave activity decreasing in the temporal regions of your brain. You mentally move the cursor to the left and scroll through your brain data over the past few hours. You can see your stress levels rising as the deadline to finish your memo approached, causing a peak in your theta brainwave activity right before an alert pops up, telling you to take a brain break. Well, what's that unusual change in your brain activity when you're asleep? It started earlier in the month. You send a text message to your doctor with a mental swipe of your cursor. Could you take a quick look at my brain data? Anything to worry about? Your mind starts to wander to the new colleague on your team, whom you know you shouldn't be daydreaming about, given the policy against intra-office romance. But you can't help fantasizing just a little. But then you start to worry that your boss will notice your amorous feelings when she checks your brain activity and shift your attention back to the present. You breathe a sigh of relief when the email she sends you later that day congratulates you on your brain metrics from the past quarter, which have earned you another performance bonus. You head home, jamming to the music, with your work-issued brain-sensing earbuds still in. When you arrive at work the next day, a somber cloud has fallen over the office. Along with emails, text messages, and GPS location data, the government has subpoenaed employees' brainwave data from the past year. They have compelling evidence that one of your coworkers has committed massive wire fraud. Now, they're looking for his co-conspirators. You discover they are looking for synchronized brain activity between your coworker and the people he has been working with. While you know you're innocent of any crime, you've been secretly working with him on a new startup venture. Shaking, you remove your earbuds.
Listen very closely to what she says.
What do you think? Is it a future you're ready for?
The room says no.
You may be surprised to learn that it's a future that has already arrived. Everything in that video that you just saw is based on technology that is already here today. Artificial intelligence has enabled advances in decoding brain activity in ways that we never before thought possible. You've heard a lot about AI over the past few...
This goes on for 30 minutes, but what did she just say that should alarm you? It's already here. It's being used in other countries now where they wear hats that read brain waves during an employee's day and they register how focused you were. And they're promising that these hats will consistently be able to shock you back to awakeness if necessary so you can complete your day. Just as much as the young man created a video game that's virtual reality that if you die in the game, it literally fries your brain and kills you. It's a suicide game. Gee, that's a game that everybody should want to play. You see how this is happening, and it's going further and further down the line. And you think, well, I thought it was supposed to be a mark of the beast, how all of these things, a mark in my hand and in my forehead.
Drinking warm water before bed fixes tooth and gum problems overnight.
It's not your teeth I'm worried about.
This is a developmental system made by MC10, and it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication. Now, it may be true that 10 to 20 year olds don't want to wear a watch on their wrist, but you can be sure that they'll be far more electronic tattoo if only to piss off their parents. Right? And that's something that you wear, but you could also imagine including authentication in just your daily habits. So I take a vitamin every morning. What if I could take vitamin authentication? What? Vitamin authentication. Look, I have one right here. Well, here, I'll let you hold it. Would you like to hold it?
I'll hold it.
Okay. So, this...
You guys see it?
This pill has a small chip inside of it with a switch. It also has what amounts to an inside-out potato battery. When you swallow it, the acids in your stomach serve as the electrolyte, and they power it up, and the switch goes on and off. And it creates an 18-bit signal in your body, and essentially your entire body becomes your authentication token. Yes, this is true.
Okay, so it's
really true. So what this means is that that becomes my first superpower. I really want the superpower. It means
see
that
how
my
they're
arms
selling
are like
it.
Wires. My hands are like alligator clips. When I touch my phone, my computer, my drawer, my car, I'm authenticated in. First superpower. Like, I want that.
Wow. Notice what she said at the beginning of that video. A tattoo. That's quite interesting for me, because a tattoo is what we've often thought. But if you notice what she said it's already here. And young kids would be far less to take a chip, but they'll take a tattoo. And notice she said those pills. What if they give those out without you knowing? What's being done? Well, the truth of the matter is the control is already everywhere. You're not going to be able to escape it. So now you might say, I won't fall into that trap. The problem is you already have. You already have. The smartphone, the very first smartphone, as you and I understand it, was only made in 2007. That's only, 13, 14 years? Look how far it's come since 2007 and what it's got the capability of doing. But do you have the internet and Wi-Fi in your home? What about telehealth? What about all of these things that we think are good and we use them because we can navigate them a little bit better, but aren't these just going to be tools for greater control as the days go? That's absolutely true. Now, TVs and appliances and any other number of things are now connected to the internet. Why does my coffee maker and my refrigerator and my washing machine need to have an internet hookup? And LG comes out and complains, well, they buy our machines, but they don't hook them up to the internet because only 50% of our machines are hooked up and we're just not making the money that we're supposed to make. Well, why would they be making money off of that? Well, because what they do is they sell your data from that machine. How many times you use it? What soaps do you use? All these different things, they take that and they sell it to some of those corporations so those corporations can then send you coupons for their products. You are their money. No wonder they want to control you. What about fingerprints and facial recognition? You use it all the time. If you take a picture with your smartphone, that device has facial recognition that can find your eyeballs. But think about all these cute little pictures where the kids, they take their picture and it's got the little doggy face and it's got, how does it do that? Unless it's reading your face. It knows your features. It knows exactly where to put those things so the picture looks good. You've just given your facial recognition to a company so you can have a cute little picture and they take it and sell it. Then what about your fingerprint? I'm going to unlock my phone with my fingerprint. In New York, they took fingerprints of people that were not vaccinated and sent them to the government. Wow. That was the New York State government that did that. I've got the news article right here. Banking being done online. Again, we use these things, but these are precursors that set us up for what Tomorrowland will be. Cameras are everywhere. Do you know in Westchester they just advertised all these traffic cams they put up across streets? I drive by one all the time when I'm coming to church right there on Seward Road. And they promise that the pictures are only there to see how many times a license plate goes by, just so they can make sure that if a license plate that is attached to a car that's done a criminal act, they can go and find it. Then why do you need mine? You don't need mine. Unless I'm some kind of psychotic criminal. But then, of course, social media. Social media is everywhere, but so is Kroger. You got a Kroger Plus card? They monitor that. What about Sam's Club membership? All of these things are watched, and you have no idea how far it's gone into your credit cards. That little magnetic strip that used to be on the back of your credit card that's not there anymore, that little magnetic strip contained over 100,000 pieces of information about you, where you go, what you buy, how many times you've been there. But now that little chip contains what's estimated to be 1 billion pieces of information about you. So we can try as we might to get off the grid. Good luck. It's going to be extremely difficult to hide back. And now they take that data and they use it for great things. Like in Scotland, they put forward a law that broke their city up into different sectors. And you were only allowed to stay within that sector, the little circle and broken pie chart, for so long. And you weren't allowed to cross into other sectors. You would be given a passport to be able to cross through. And you could only cross through twice a year. And if you did cross through, because maybe mama lives on this side and I live on this side, you get to see your mom twice a year. And they did it all because climate change needs to be controlled. These things should frighten you. I took you to 2 Peter chapter 3 as scoffers. That's true. You do have to be worried about scoffers. It's the ones that are silent that scare me the most, because they're the ones that are the most evil. So how do we navigate Tomorrowland? We start off with 2 Peter. You start off with this right here. Know them first. You can only face them when you know them, because they are willfully ignorant of this. So in order to get through Tomorrowland, know your enemy. And now you've known just a few, but let me tell you this. As I prepared for this message, this was only the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. This is just the little tiny tip. This goes so deep that you and I would never be able to trace it all down. Because the ruler of the prince of the air, amen, this man, this demon, this devil, has great control. And so to navigate Tomorrowland, we get rid of fear and doubt. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 2 Corinthians 14:33. Don't be confused about these things, because God did not author it. He authored strength and wisdom and understanding. And that follows us up with James 3:13 through 18. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. The wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. That person that wants to be this earthly thing, he wants to be sensual and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So the wisdom that comes from above, God's wisdom, is what will guide us through. Amen. You want to navigate Tomorrowland? Do not listen to the wisdom of the world. Don't. Because it's full of envy and strife. And as you just read there with me, if you can read it, it is full of confusion and evil work. You need the pure wisdom of God. If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask it of God. So if you feel like, well, I just don't understand what's going on and I don't know how to navigate, get on your knees and ask God to give you navigation. Amen. And He will. And that leads us to the next perspective of how to deal with this world. Know that all men are liars. Psalm 116:11. And know who they're the father of, or excuse me, who their father is. John 8:44, your father, the devil. There's a motive and a desire to control you in every aspect and format. And every tool needed is already out there and being used. So make sure that you step back and think of who's behind them. But then ultimately, to deal with fear and doubt, as we establish that some of the struggles that a Christian may have, listen to what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. Memorize this verse and place it on your heart. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. This world is full of insanity. Amen. Don't worry about them. You'll get through it. Now remember, I told you, you got to be prepared for some things. You must be prepared for war. Romans 1:18-32. Now I didn't put all those verses up here because there's no way, but I want to just propose some thinking to you that you might have missed a little bit in the past. In Romans 1:18-32, I happen to land on Acts chapter 18 as I'm flipping through my pages. In Romans 1:18-32, it tells us what kind of society we're looking at. And you see that the wrath of God abides on this broken society. Because in 19, they knew God, and God had been around them, and it was manifested, because the invisible things from the creation of the world were clearly seen. But what did they do? They rejected God. We live in a society at this moment that rejects God wholeheartedly. And professing themselves wise, they became fools. And what we see here is they're not fools in the sense that you and I know, because what I've just laid out for you in video and PowerPoint is they're very smart. They know what they're doing. But they're fools for the world's sake. They think they're going to get out of here scot-free and there's no judgment day or payday someday. But I guarantee you they will stand before God and account for everything that they have done. But Romans 1 tells us that even more is coming to them. Will not stop. They knew God, but they did not glorify Him as God, verse 21, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Oh, isn't it great to have voice AI and to pretend to be somebody else? No, it's not! You are given a voice by God, use it. But you're not doing that. You're using some evil things behind, so your foolish heart was darkened. Then you profess yourself wise, became fools. So what happens? Verse 23. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, make like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, this world has begun to be tree huggers and they just love nature, but that's not it. That's not all. That is true, but that's not all. They love themselves. And they are a creation. And oh boy, the selfish love of this world. The ego that exists. Me first, me first! The other day I watched at a gas station, a young man comes zipping in with his little Cadillac and parked in a parking space that was handicapped. He wasn't handicapped. He hops right out and goes on into the store. Then I saw a man who came in with a license plate. He was a war vet, Purple Heart. Parks four spaces down, gets out, has no leg. Canes himself in. Me first. That's what you get with that.
That's right.
They worship the creature more than the Creator. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. Now you think that that's in a scheme of homosexuality or just simple abortion. But what else have they ignored? What other damaging thing has come out of all of these mouthpieces in the world that has destroyed women across this country? They left Genesis chapter 2. God made a woman with a distinct duty and position. And they have left that behind. Feminism has come in and rotted the heart and mind of many a young lady and many a young man. And now today, there's a news article I have up here on my table just coming out that depression has skyrocketed 30% among young ladies. And you want to know what their issue is? Because they don't know their place in the world anymore. They were lifted up and respected, and now some man can walk into your locker room and act like he's you. And he's the one that has to be respected, not you. You are actually born this way. He's a Looney Tune. I think here's a great question. When Johnny sits there and thinks that he's Bobby and Bill and George, he's got a mental problem. But when Johnny wants to be Jessica, suddenly we need to lift him up. Are you kidding me? This world has gone nuts. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Oh, yeah. Spokes candies. You just look around and see what's happened. And now you say, well, why can't I find a TV channel that doesn't do this? I just showed you why you can't find it. They're all into the same heads. So you have to look beyond. And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And notice being filled. Well, I'm not going to take time to read that. You can read it on your own, but that's what they're filled with. So if that's the world we live in, how in the world do you navigate that? Well, it's very simple. Look at Romans 1, 16 through 17 if you're with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you want to live through tomorrow land and navigate it right, live by faith. Because it will be what carries you through the rest of those verses. That's not where it ends. in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and no, I know you're going, oh man, he's going to read longer and I'm going to be sitting here forever. No, I'm going to hasten my time. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5. You want to navigate Tomorrowland, you need to do and apply what's written within these just two chapters. The church's climate is broken. There's compromise everywhere. And it's happening because of convenience. That's why our bags say conviction over convenience. I don't want to be convenient. Christianity is not convenient. It's a challenge, but a lovely challenge to take. But conviction must stand, and we must stand on those things. My brother, do you mind if I tell the story that you gave me about that bumper sticker? Okay. My brother back there, he's got a business, and because we're live, I won't share it, but he's got a business. And he was, during our election season last year, he had a political opinion that he felt he needed to tell people about. So he put a bumper sticker on his car. And he went to a place, and this woman came out, and I'm sure I'm telling it a little bit incorrect, but came out and said, basically, if that's who you support, I don't want you. He said, okay, put his ladder up on top of the truck and left. He could have stood there and compromised. He could have stood there and said, well, you just not think. Nope, you cannot compromise. Because when you compromise, you're bowing a knee to somebody who does not need a knee bowed to. So as we look at Corinthians chapter 4, this chapter truly is dealing with the apostles' ministry, the servants of Christ. And it starts off with that very thing. You're a minister of Christ, a steward of the mysteries of God. But moreover, required stewards, man must be found what? Faithful, verse 2. We, again, here, just shall live by faith. Now, I understand that this chapter is Paul dealing with the church saying, hey, look, you're beating up your pastors. You're beating up those that are trying to lead you. Stop it. You're so busy trying to be Paul and Apollos and who is who and Cephas, and you're so worried about these things, putting all the stock in man. You're not to be dealing with man. You're to be dealing with God. But every steward of the gospel must be faithful, including you. It can't just be me. It's got to be all of us. And when a church falls into compromise, what you'll never inevitably find is half the congregation could care less about the gospel. The gospel is what keeps us focused and faithful. It's God and His Word that drives us forward. And notice in verse 3, Paul says, but with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgments. Yeah, I would judge not my own self. You want to judge me? Fine. But you've got no authority to judge me. It's God that judges me, and that's who I'm worried about. So verse 5 finishes off, then shall every man have the praise of God. That is your goal to navigate Tomorrowland. The way that you are living, are you doing it to have the praise of God upon your heart? Not to please Him, because you can please Him. I want to know that God says, that man or that woman lived for me. That's how we do it. We navigate only that way because you're just a little person. When you stand against millions of dollars and corporations and people, it's a hard stand to take, but you must stand it. And he continues on. You want to deal with Apollos, you can keep looking through. And he just says, you know what, verse 10, I'm done talking about you. You make us a spectacle, you're laughing. We are fools, as you might say, for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. You think we're idiots because we're preaching the gospel, but you're so smart, oh dear, judging Christian. You've got it all sorted out. I know what you did. You went and you grabbed the collar of God's neck and you said, God, I'm going to tell you how we're going to do this now, so let's get out there and do it. That's how you live, isn't it, young men? To imagine getting this from Paul must have shaken them to their core if they were serious at all. Because he's bashing them in the face with divine sarcasm. You think you're wise? Ha, you're nothing. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. You know what? When out there, if I go out there and a bunch of pastors who I know have compromised calls me a fool, I'll take that as a badge of honor. Because you're the one that gave up on what you know to be right. To navigate Tomorrowland, we must be holding fast to what is right. Chapter 4. And he goes all the way through. He continues just bashing them down. And then he gets to chapter 5. And this is the chapter that most Christians hate, because what does this chapter deal with? Slamming you down for your sin. He didn't mince words with the church. When he speaks in chapter 5, he says, well, it's reported commonly that there's fornication among you. And this guy, he's doing something very devious. He went in and took his father's wife. And you can see in Leviticus 18:8 and Deuteronomy 22:30 and 27:20, that's really a bad thing. But we know it's some kind of incestual relationship, 2 Corinthians 7:12. But here's what he's saying. You did this, he did this, and you guys are so busy being puffed up, verse 2, that you didn't deal with him. You didn't slam him down and say, you're not doing this. All because he gives so much to the offering plate and he really makes the children's chapel just work really well. And he helps out. I don't care! Sin is sin and must be dealt with. Amen. If we want to navigate Tomorrowland, you must deal with not only your sin, but if you know sin is in your house, kids, grandkids, don't be afraid to point it out. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to do what I'm doing here. Because if you're all fired up and veins are coming out of your neck too, you're going to be like, they're going to look at you and say, what did you drink or eat when you came over here? But you can lean across the table and say, hey, you know what? You got to stop. Because if you don't stop, you got real trouble. Look at the very last verse. But them that are without God judgeth. So therefore put away from you among yourselves that wicked person. He deals with the Lord's Supper in this moment as she's going through. And he says, look, I told you in a previous letter, a letter we don't have, but he wrote it. And he said, don't inhabit with anybody. If you look back at verse 6, purge out therefore the old leaven. He says, get rid of it, because as you go together, verse 10, I wrote unto you not dealing with fornicators, not altogether fornicators of this world, but with the covetous extortioners and idolaters, you must need go out of the world. And then what he follows it up with in verse 11 is, listen, I said this in haste. I said this, and it's still a true statement, try to stay away from the world, but I've come to understand you do have to go out in the world, and you can't possibly go to Ruby Tuesdays or Cracker Barrel and say, well, because I see a covetous person, I'm going to leave this restaurant because he's there. You're not going to be able to do that. You can't escape those things. So what must you do? When it's in the Lord's house, you get him out. But what about your own heart? Because remember I said last week you're a temple of God? What about your own heart? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and I will hasten quickly to get you guys out of here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. And as for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I didn't teach this on Wednesday night because I was saving it for this morning. And I will be as quick as I can, so keep up with me as you must. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul goes through putting on the armament of God. He says, hey, look, you must have a heart for something. In chapter 4 and 5 of 1 Corinthians, you must have a heart for God. In Romans, you must be prepared to war with the city. But in Ephesians chapter 6, you must have a heart for each other. That's how you get through this. And so what does he say? I open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm going to preach and teach. I'm going to give you as much as I can because you're worthy. I want you to know the things that I know. And it's by the grace of God because I took time to put on that armor and go out in battle and learn from my mistakes and grow in grace that I can do that. And so I'm going to do that with bold exuberance, give you the gospel because I fear no man. Neither should you. That's what Paul just told us. Why do we fear? We shouldn't. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You owe God to tell people about Him. He saved your soul not for you to sit on your hands and pretend you're useless. You are not useless. Well, I've got anxiety. I've got fears. I've got troubles. I'm sick. I'm on a cane. I don't care. You got a mouth. You can tell everyone you know about Jesus Christ. You want to navigate? Get His name and proclaim it. Ships used to go out when they had the SOS. Ahoy! Because you're sinking. This world's sinking.
Yep.
Jesus. Give a clarion call. Verse 21. But that ye may also know my affairs. And how I do, Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, shall make known to all things. What did he just say in that verse? Dear church, Ephesus church, you know I'm hurting. I'm in prison. I'm troubled. Here's what's going on. He didn't hide. My brothers and sisters, this place is a safe place for you. You're struggling with sin. You don't have to hide when you come here. We can't help you unless you're honest. No, you're not going to come in here and give me confession day. I don't need you to come in here and blanket me with every sin you've ever committed. But if you're struggling, I need direction. I need help. God's got to do something for me. I'm hurting here. Well, are you going to find that help out there? Good luck. But we come in here and we bottle up and we act like we've got to just be alone, because how dare I tell anybody about what's going on in my heart? Paul just said, no, I'm telling you everything that's going on with me, and so is he. We all need each other, because we're not going to be able to get through this alone. You cannot sail a ship all by yourself.
Right.
Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Notice, it wasn't Paul's comfort he was trying to give. It was the church's comfort that was needed. And Paul was the mouthpiece. You are a comforter to others. Peace be to the brethren and love of the faith of God, from God, excuse me, the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. That word sincerity is very important. In Latin, it's sincera. In Greek, it's atharsia. It means incorruption. It means perpetuity. Purity and incorrupt. This word is used 8 times in your scriptures. New beginnings. A sincere faith means that it's sincere, it's true, it's uncorrupted by the world. But notice, it's not just sincerity and faith. What did he say that you need to have? Love. Love for God. That's what he's calling upon to be sincere. And in your scriptures, incorruption 4 times, immortality 2 times, and sincerity 2 times. But it also means without wax. When they would make a statue in Latin, when they'd make a statue, if there was a marble statue being made and they marred it, or they had some kind of chip or brokenness in it, they couldn't obviously go back and get a whole new rock, so they'd take wax and they'd fill that spot and smooth it out and make it look just like it was part of that stone. That's no longer a sincere statue. It's got a marring and it's got a covering. We're not to have that in our love for God. No mars, no coverings. So as I close, and everyone said, amen. No matter what Tomorrowland may bring us, we must navigate it. Because you're here. You're here right now.
Amen.
You don't have a choice but to navigate it. And yes, it will be hard. There's no escaping that. It will be hard. But we'll get through it. Yeah, see, I said, everybody said amen. So, you're here. You're not dead yet. And you're not raptured out yet. So God has said, you know what? You need to get through this. But I know you're not going to be able to do it alone, because you feel like a ship without a rudder. But that's just not true. You have a rudder, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we need to get in the water. Now, you don't have to turn with me, because I said I'm going to hasten to close, so I'm going to be speedy in my point here. But I want you to be like Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1, a young man is taken in. And he's taken into some real trouble. He's captive and he's held back. And Daniel, and you have those young men there, Mishael, Azariah. You have these young men taken to a land that they do not know. Taken to a place they do not understand. But yet they took a stand to navigate Tomorrowland. As I hear those babies, I promise you I'm speedily here. In 17 through 21, they said, we're not eating the king's meat. So what did God do? He took great care of them and made them 10 times better. God will make you 10 times better. In chapter 2, verses 46 through 49, Nebuchadnezzar is so moved and so shaken by what God has done with Daniel that he looks at Daniel and says, what can I do for you? And he says, here, take care of my friends. And so what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He moved them up the ranks, even though they shouldn't have been, even though they weren't part of Babylon. He moved them up the ranks and made them up. But it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar that did, it was God. And then you get to Daniel chapter 3, 13 through 20, or 13 through 30, excuse me, you know it. There's the statues built, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, no, we're not bowing a knee. You brought us up, you've made us governors, we've worked up the line here, but I'm sorry, you're asking us to bow to something that is not our God. We're not doing it. Okay, we're going to burn you alive. Fine, do what you must. But then he looks down into that fiery furnace, and he sees one, a fourth, that is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And when they come out, he's blown away. Your God is the God. No God is better than that. And yet, in his own ignorance, he falls back, still thinks he's the greatest gift God has ever given to mankind. And so God wipes him down with lycanthropy. But then you get to chapter 4, verse 26. And chapter 4, verse 26 is something very important. And you might have missed it if you skip by it. It says this. And whereas the roots of the kingdom... Excuse me. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. Verse 26, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Amen. God is always in control. And that takes us to chapter 5, verse 30 through 31. When Babylon begins to fall, the Medes and Persians march through, and when Belshazzar's death is commanded, in verse 30 it says, in that night, God had already moved the pieces into place to get him through that, just as he's done with you. So as you're going to get out of here right now, I'm going to close this message with only two more verses and then we are done. I started off in 2 Peter chapter 3. The last days, scoffers are here and they're everywhere. So how do we get out of it? As also in his epistles, verse 16, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, don't worry about them. And they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. They're messing around with God's word and they will be destroyed. Yep. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing as ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Getting through Tomorrowland, you must live like God has control. Live like the battles are already here and have already been won. Take God as all that you need and love one another. Let us close in prayer. Our Father, Lord, I know I hasten.